I'm Pam Puzo, Fox News. The five conservative justices on the high court have ruled that California can't enforce coronavirus restrictions that limit home-based religious worship. Across the state, indoor social gatherings are limited to no more than three households, but different rules apply for places like schools, grocery stores, and churches. In its dissent, the liberal wing of the court said the majority was hurting the ability of state officials to address a public health emergency. For the next 6 months, a bipartisan commission will explore expanding the Supreme Court.
The Constitution does not establish a set number of justices for the High Court. There have been as few as five members of the court and as many as 10. Nine has been the standard since 1869. So then, why all the talk about change now? Well, some suggest it's because President Trump was able to seat three relatively young justices to the High Court.
Fox's Kevin Cork. Another boost for Democratic priorities as President Biden unveils his first federal budget proposal.
President Biden's proposed $1.5 trillion budget calls on Congress to increase spending on public schools, health care, housing, and the climate change response. In all, the president calls for $769 billion in non-defense spending, a 16% increase from last year, and $753 billion for defense programs, an increase of less than 2%.
Fox's Jared Halpern. The president says he's hoping for bipartisan support, but Republicans say the plan shortchanges the military. He says he's built for battle. House Republican Matt Gaetz told a supportive crowd last night he plans to fight allegations of sexual misconduct. In the face of soaring coronavirus cases, Michigan's governor is urging educators to suspend in-person learning for the next 2 weeks. Governor Gretchen Whitmer is also recommending a pause to all youth sports and indoor dining. Michigan Congresswoman Debbie Dingell says her district has been hit hard.
Our hospitals, every hospital in my district is at capacity. They're now canceling surgeries.
The head of Michigan's High School Sports Association says the competition will go on as planned unless local districts opt out. In Alabama, Governor Kay Ivey is advocating personal responsibility and common sense. The state's mask mandate was lifted Friday, but the governor says she'll continue to wear one when she's around other people. She's also urging citizens to respect businesses that still want customers to wear masks. Two of Alabama's largest cities, Birmingham and Montgomery, are keeping mask requirements in place. More expert testimony at the murder trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. Dr. Andrew Baker, the chief medical examiner who ruled George Floyd's death a homicide, says heart disease and drug use were contributing factors but not the direct cause of his death.
He experienced a cardiopulmonary arrest in the context of law enforcement subdual restraint and neck compression. It was the stress of that interaction that tipped him over the edge, given his underlying heart disease and his toxicological status.
Other medical experts have gone further, testifying that Floyd died from asphyxia or insufficient oxygen. Chauvin's defense maintains the ex-officer did what he was trained to do. They also claim Floyd's underlying health conditions and drug use are what killed him. The death of Britain's Prince Philip will be marked next hour with 41-gun salutes across the country. The husband of Queen Elizabeth was 99. Funeral details have not been released. Pam Puzo, Fox News.
In Virginia, getting reports of an accident westbound of the Prince William Parkway. That is blocked at Minnieville Road due to the crash, so do be aware of that. Elsewhere in Virginia, watch out for some road work right now westbound on 66 between Route 29 in Centerville and the car rest area. But the road work on the Beltway ramp to westbound 66 should be cleared at this time. Right now, if you are traveling in the district, do watch out for on 12th Street. A portion of that is closed between Pennsylvania Avenue and East Street Northwest for water main repairs. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Dense fog this morning. Watch your drive. Dense fog advisory until 8 o'clock this morning for Warren, Page, Rockingham, Orange, and Madison County in Virginia. Temperatures in the 50s now. We're headed up to 72 degrees. A mostly cloudy sky for the afternoon. A little bit of filtered sunshine. By 9 p.m., areas of rain return, and there could even be some thunderstorms with heavy rain overnight. By Sunday, some lingering showers early on, but also some sunshine. It's been partly sunny, and there is a chance for an isolated thunderstorm in the afternoon, the high near 80. I'm 7 News meteorologist Veronica Johnson from the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
Good morning. It is the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. Jeff Wolf is behind the console. Jane Houghton, our producer this morning. Well, you know, we got to Friday, and just about the time Friday when we thought Biden can't possibly do any more damage to the country this week, what does he do? He announces the creation of a bipartisan commission to study structural changes to the Supreme Court. Oh, boy. He gave the group 180 days to produce a report on a range of, as the Washington Post calls it, thorny topics, including court expansion and term limits. The commission is comprised of 36 legal scholars, that's code for liberals, former federal judges, practicing lawyers. It fulfills Biden's campaign promise to establish such a group after activists pushed him to back expanding the court. Well, you might want to differ on the idea of whether that was something he promised or not to us during the campaign. Let's take you back to the fall of 2020 and see if this was a promise to establish a commission to pack the court.
I've already spoken on. I'm not a fan of court packing. The last thing we need to do is turn the Supreme Court into just a political football. Whoever has the most votes gets whatever they want.
Well, that wasn't exactly a Biden campaign promise to establish the group, but that's what you get when you elect the Trojan horse, as they have said. Well, let's do a little history on court packing and Joe Biden and some other prominent people who know something about the Supreme Court. Let's go back to 2005. Now, this is Joe Biden. This is Cut D. This is Joe Biden when he is talking about FDR and the Supreme Court.
And remember this old adage about power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Corrupted by power, in my view, unveiled his court packing plan.
So he called it a power grab for FDR there. How about Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
Well, if anything would make the court appear partisan, it would be that. One side saying, when we're in power, we're going to enlarge the number of judges, so we will have more people who will vote the way we want them to.
So then why all the talk about change now? Well, some suggest it's because President Trump was able to seat three relatively young justices to the high court and hundreds of federal jurists all in just one term in office.
And that's Fox's Kevin Cork as he lays out the scenario with Justice Ginsburg. Now, we can go back to earlier this week, and this is sort of part of the issue and part of the problem that the liberal Democrats are having this week. And it has to do with Justice Breyer. Now, there are a number of progressives who would like to see Justice Breyer retire so they could get a young progressive onto the Supreme Court while they still have at least 2 years in control of the Senate. Well, here's what Justice Breyer had to say about it earlier this week when it comes to packing the court.
The rule of law has weathered many threats, but it remains sturdy. I hope and expect that the court will retain its authority, but that authority, like the rule of law, depends on trust, a trust that the court is guided by legal principle, not politics. Structural alteration motivated by the perception of political influence can only feed that latter perception.
It is a big story this morning, and let me just run down some of the headlines around the country. New York Times, will Biden pack the Supreme Court? From Fox News, liberals ramp up calls for Supreme Court Justice Breyer to retire after he panned court packing in that speech you just heard. From The Hill, Biden will let Breyer decide when to retire, aide says. New York Post headline, opinion piece, Biden's atrocious opening to packing the Supreme Court. Los Angeles Times opinion piece, Biden's Supreme Court panel should listen to Justice Breyer. And from the Washington Post power-up, Breyer's SCOTUS comments that you just heard prompt renewed calls from progressives to retire. So there you have it. Was hoping we'd get through the week without any further damage. Well, we actually got some good news from a Democrat and the Washington Post. And we'll talk about that next. Best news of the week, actually, from a Democrat and the Washington Post. That's next. But first, we'll check the traffic and weather, and Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Virginia, watch out for accident activity westbound on the Prince William Parkway. That is closed at Minneville Road due to a crash. Watch out for police direction there. Also in Virginia, be aware of some construction that has Stringfellow Road closed between Lee Highway and the Fair Lakes Parkway in conjunction with the bridge beam installation work, and also the ramps from Stringfellow Road to East Bend and West Bend 66 are closed due to this work at this time. If you're traveling in the district, just be aware of some road work on DC 295 southbound at Pennsylvania Avenue and at the 11th Street Bridge. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Dense fog this morning. Watch your drive. Dense fog advisory until 8 o'clock this morning for Warren, Page, Rockingham, Orange, and Madison County in Virginia. Temperatures in the 50s now. We're headed up to 72 degrees. A mostly cloudy sky for the afternoon. A little bit of filtered sunshine. By 9 p.m., areas of rain return, and there could even be some thunderstorms with heavy rain overnight. By Sunday, some lingering showers early on, but also some sunshine, which will be partly sunny. There is a chance for an isolated thunderstorm in the afternoon, the high near 80. I'm 7 News meteorologist Veronica Johnson from the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
54 degrees in the nation's capital at 6:15 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Well, I promise it, so here it is. It is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler, and the best news of the week was from a Democrat, and it was in the Washington Post. It was an opinion piece from West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin. He says in the headline, "I will not vote to eliminate or weaken the filibuster." And I'm just going to do a couple of graphs because I think this is really important, because this has scared the bejesus out of everybody. And at least one Democrat still has his head on straight. That's Joe Manchin. Here's what he says. "When Americans vote to send their two senators to Washington, they trust that they will work to represent the interests of their state on equal footing with 98 other senators. The filibuster is a critical tool to protecting that input and our democratic form of government. That's why I've said it before and will say it again to remove any shred of doubt. There is no circumstance in which I will vote to eliminate or weaken the filibuster. The time has come to end these political games and to usher a new era of bipartisanship where we find common ground on the major policy debates facing our nation." I could go on, but I think you get the gist of it. And great that he said that. And moving forward, hopefully there will be more bipartisanship. And, you know, it's so funny. Every time there's an election, there's always the pledge that everybody's going to be seeking bipartisanship, and we'll all find common ground. And that lasts for about 24 hours, maybe 36 hours. But at least Joe Manchin is standing up and calling for bipartisanship, and he's actually taking some action on it by refusing to cave and eliminate or weaken the filibuster. So good for Joe Manchin. You know, there's been so much criticism of Donald Trump about his integrity, you know, his exaggerations. He lies all the time. We heard that for 4 years about Donald Trump. Well, I wouldn't say the Biden administration has been exactly getting A pluses when it comes to honesty, transparency, and integrity. If you were to listen to the Secretary of Homeland Security, the border is secure. The border is closed. Well, I think if you've seen any images from the border, you would find that not to be true. You know that the Washington Post gave Joe Biden 4 Pinocchios for his comments on the Georgia voting law. And I want to run this down one more time. And this is cut F, where Joe Biden was talking about the Georgia voting law. And these are lies. And the only reason I want to play this is because Chris Christie, former governor of New Jersey, of course, was on ABC's This Week, and he responded to Joe Biden. But I want you to hear the Biden clip first, and then we'll play Christopher Christie.
What I'm worried about is how un-American this whole initiative is. It's sick. It's sick. Deciding in some states that you cannot bring water to people standing in line waiting to vote. Deciding that you're going to end voting at 5 o'clock when working people are just getting off work.
So the Post gave him four Pinocchios for the line about 5 o'clock. And the idea of not bringing water to people in line is strictly for partisans, either Democratic or Republican party workers, to bring water to people in line within a certain distance of the polling place. So both of those just flat out lies. Well, Chris Christie kind of summed up, I think, a lot of people's feelings, and some people may be a little shy about saying it. Chris Christie's never been shy, and here's what he had to say about Joe Biden's comments on the Georgia election law.
He's lying about this bill. He's lying to the American people about it to cause the raging fire he said he was going to put out. He is lying to cause racial divisions in this country. That's what he accused Donald Trump of doing, and he's a liar and a hypocrite.
So that gives you some sense of how Chris Christie feels about things. And so many questions, so many things going on that we wouldn't have anticipated because we thought Joe Biden was going to be the transparent president. And he was the answer and the savior to all of Donald Trump's lies. But I'm not seeing any indications thereof, and especially when it comes to anything in terms of bipartisanship. We got another one that likes to try and pull the wool over our eyes. That is the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Now, here's what she had to say about immigration and the border as Speaker Pelosi praises Joe Biden's leadership on the border.
The fact is that we're on a good path at the border under leadership of Joe Biden, President Biden. We were in a very bad situation under the Trump administration.
Well, now, that's her opinion. I would say she's 100% wrong. You might say she's lying. I won't go that far, but I will say that she's 100% wrong. It's clearly evident, unless she doesn't watch the evening news. Of course, the evening news she watches probably doesn't cover the border. So maybe she's completely clueless, but she shouldn't be because she's the Speaker of the House and she's supposed to know what's going on. Now, there's a lot to cover this morning on the Saturday Morning Update. Of course, Great Britain in mourning this weekend, the death of Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, and, of course, the husband of Queen Elizabeth II. And he died yesterday, Windsor Castle in England. He was 99. And the funeral for Prince Philip will be next Saturday. The details have not been announced. There will be a 41-gun salute across the country in the U.K. later on today. So that's one of the things we'll talk about this morning with John Gizzi. Of course, he is the White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. He raised some eyebrows when he wrote an opinion piece about John Boehner. The headline on Gizzi's piece was, "Boehner hits right wing, ignores his own lack of character." Wham! Well, he got some blowback on that, so we'll talk to John Gizzi on that. And John Gizzi got into it with Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, a little dust-up they had earlier in the week. It was a good enough dust-up to make it into the Huffington Post. How about that? John Gizzi, story about him in the Huffington Post. So we'll talk to John, and we'll get the rundown on the blow-by-blow with Jen Psaki. So that's going to be a fun segment with John coming up at 7 o'clock this morning. We're going to talk with K.T. McFarland about some of the Biden foreign policy issues, including Iran. And it's a headline, breakthrough with Iranians on nuclear deal. I thought we had them right where we wanted them, but no. Another Biden blunder in progress when it comes to Iran. We'll talk to KT about that. We're going to talk to Tony Schaefer, and Tony will run down the situation with China. We've got a mess on our hands there, and Taiwan. A lot of people are talking about what China's intentions are with Taiwan. I think they made an indication this week. We'll find out what it is with Tony Schaefer this morning. Jennifer Harper is going to join us this morning. Some interesting angles on the media. We've got Jim Trusty on the legal front, and we're going to talk with Jim Trusty about the Matt Gaetz allegations, and also we'll talk with Jim Trusty about Supreme Court packing. That is coming up as well. And with all the talk this week about the vaccines, coronavirus, there has been a surge in coronavirus in New York and New Jersey. We've got Dr. Bob Lahida back with us, and we're going to talk about vaccinations. We'll talk about the J&J vaccines. That's coming up on the 7 o'clock hour as well. So plenty to cover. We're glad that you've joined us here on the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Thank you for joining us on the Saturday Morning Update. You know, it's funny, whenever we would say early on that, you know, the progressives were in control at the White House and they would take over the agenda and it was going to be a Trojan horse if Biden was elected, everybody's, oh, no. He's a moderate. You know, he's going to be balanced. He's going to be uniting the country. He's going to unify Republicans and Democrats. Here's a headline from the Washington Post this week. Biden acts on gun control after pressure from impatient activists. And it's not an opinion piece. President Biden Thursday announcing a series of executive actions to curb gun violence, and he pledged to push for sweeping change to the country's firearms laws, his first substantive response to a pair of mass shootings last month that left 18 dead. He spoke in the White House Rose Garden. Now, back to integrity and back to some of the claims that Joe Biden makes when he kind of wades into some fairly hot topics. Here's another one that it's just flat out wrong. I mean, you know, this is a misrepresentation. You could call it a lie, but here it is. This is Joe Biden earlier in the week.
Most people don't know it. You walk into a store and you buy a gun, you have a background check. But you go to a gun show, you can buy whatever you want and no background check.
That's not true. And that's one more here that just kind of cracks me up. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, I think we're all pretty familiar with the ATF. I mean, I'm sure you've heard that term, and I'm sure when you hear ATF, you go, oh, yeah, that's the gun folks, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Well, President Biden messed it up, and instead of calling it the ATF, he called it the AFT. Now, normally, I wouldn't make fun of him on something like this because he makes so many flubs that we could spend the whole show making fun of it, and it's immature and kind of childish to poke at him because he screws things up. We all make mistakes. I get it. The only reason I find this funny is he calls ATF the AFT. Well, you know what the AFT is? The American Federation of Teachers. So clearly he's got the AFT on his mind here.
Today, I'm proud to nominate David Chipman to serve as the director of the AFT. David knows the AFT well. He served there for 25 years.
I'm just wondering what the president of the AFT, of the American Federation of Teachers, felt. I wonder what she said when she heard that from Joe Biden, nominating somebody else to take her place. It is 6:30. It is the Saturday Morning Update. We will check the news next. In the news at this hour, Maryland Governor Larry Hogan has vetoed three police reform measures passed by the Democrat-controlled General Assembly. All measures had passed with enough votes to override the vetoes. The Republican governor announcing yesterday he had vetoed legislation that includes the repeal of job protections and the police disciplinary process that have become common in other parts of the country. The vetoed measures include a statewide use of force policy and mandated use of body cameras statewide by July 2025. Hogan says he believes the proposals would cause great damage to police recruitment and retention and pose significant risks to public safety. The chief county medical examiner who ruled George Floyd's death a homicide has taken the stand at the trial of former officer Derek Chauvin. Dr. Andrew Baker said yesterday that he did not watch the harrowing video of the arrest before he examined Floyd so that he would not be biased by what he saw. Chauvin is accused of killing Floyd by pressing his knee on or near his neck for up to 9.5 minutes last May. Dozens of police chiefs who ran some of America's largest police forces are lending their support to Kristen Clark, who has been nominated to run the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division. Law enforcement leaders from more than 36 cities say in a letter Friday that Clark has demonstrated an uncanny ability to work closely with federal and state and local law enforcement officials through years as a prosecutor and civil rights advocates. Some of the largest law enforcement groups in the U.S. have also thrown their support behind Clark. Confirmation hearing is scheduled for next week. And Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba has been fined $2.8 billion for anti-competitive behavior as the ruling Communist Party tightens control over fast-growing technology industries. Party leaders in China, worrying about the dominance of Alibaba and other market leaders at a time when the industry is expanding into finance, healthcare, and other sensitive areas to the Chinese government. The market regulator says Alibaba was fined for abusing its dominant position to limit competition by retailers. Alibaba is the world's biggest e-commerce company by total volume of goods sold across its platform. It's 6:34, time for a check of the traffic and weather, and Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Woodbridge, watch out for accident activity that affects the westbound lanes of the Prince William Parkway. Currently, that is closed at Minneville Road due to this accident, so follow police direction around the scene. On DC 295, both north and southbound between the 11th Street Bridge and Pennsylvania Avenue, watch out for some construction. At least one lane could be blocked, so do be aware of that. Right now, if you are traveling on the outer loop of the Beltway at the ramp to go onto westbound 66, that ramp is narrowed through that long-term work zone, so do be aware of that. Now from GarageDoryPair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Dense fog this morning. Watch your drive. Dense fog advisory until 8 o'clock this morning for Warren, Page, Rockingham, Orange, and Madison County in Virginia. Temperatures in the 50s now. We're headed up to 72 degrees. A mostly cloudy sky for the afternoon. A little bit of filtered sunshine. By 9 p.m., areas of rain return, and there could even be some thunderstorms with heavy rain overnight. By Sunday, some lingering showers early on, but also some sunshine will turn partly sunny. There is a chance for an isolated thunderstorm in the afternoon, the high near 80. I'm 7 News meteorologist Veronica Johnson from the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
54 degrees, 6:35 on WMAL. Thanks for being with us on the Saturday Morning Update here on WMAL. So glad you've joined us. Jennifer Harper's with us each week. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, interesting to see how the media spins everything these days. And you had an article about how the media is now insisting that Republicans are siding with Joe Biden.
Yes, I love hearing that laugh there, Rick. That's excellent, because there definitely was a new narrative afoot this week about it all, and that was the notion of Biden Republicans. This is all the so-called disgruntled Republicans who now want to be with Biden because they either don't like Trump or they didn't like the horrifying riots on January 6th. But whatever it was, the notion of Biden Republicans has definitely come up. It was actually trending on Twitter and so forth and so on. And it's interesting where that got it started. It wasn't immediate, but I think it was Politico that in March they came up with Biden Republicans because they were doing a story on Reagan Democrats. I think a lot of our listeners out there will remember the Reagan Democrats in the 1980s who sided with Reagan because he, for a variety of reasons. But anyway, back in March, Politico said the pollster who identified Reagan Democrats in the 1980s sees the emergence of a mirror image voting bloc, and it spells trouble for a GOP dominated by Donald Trump. Again, this is in March, and the pollster in question here is Stanley Greenberg, and he indeed coined the Reagan Democrats, and that's how we came up with Biden Republicans. But anyway, to make a long story short, this is kind of a typical buildup of a preferred narrative right now, because it kind of takes the onus off of people looking too closely whether President Biden is performing up to par. But anyway, the coverage included MSNBC put out a whole special, Rick, on the Biden Republicans, and they predicted that it would surely cause a, quote, GOP panic And the one thing that I remembered that when President Trump was running, former President Trump was running for office, there was a huge group called Democrats for Trump. And that was among the 38 interest coalitions who signed on to support Mr. Trump during his reelection bid last year. And at the time, this is how they described themselves. Coastal elitist and left-wing radicals have taken over the Democrat Party and are dictating everything from a sham impeachment to the outright embrace of socialism. But anyway, they went on and on. And that was Democrats for Trump. So we've got a big mix here between the Biden Republicans, the Democrats for Trump, and the Reagan Democrats. But whatever it is, the media can create, well, they think they can create magic with this, but we'll see.
Just seems as though every day the administration does one more thing to further push Republicans away from them as opposed to uniting us. But that's just my opinion. So where in the world is Vice President Harris these days? We do know that she moved from Blair House finally into the vice president's residence at the Naval Observatory. Other than that, what's she been up to?
Well, it's what she hasn't been up to that people are wondering about, because there is a where, oh, where is Vice President Harris out there? And that question is coming from Republican National Committee Chairwoman Rhonda McDaniel. She wrote a great op-ed for Fox News where she pointed out that over the Easter break that Vice President Harris went out to California. And Mrs. McDaniel said she traveled to California, a border state, on Easter weekend with no plans whatsoever to make an appearance at the border. Instead, she spent time in L.A. and Oakland without scheduling any public events. And she and Mrs. McDaniel said, taking a California vacation on taxpayers' dime when there's a humanitarian crisis raging mere miles to the south is cynical, weak, and fundamentally uncaring. Ooh, that's coming from Rhonda McDaniel again. She said, Harris's failure to do even the bare minimum, just showing up, is an insult to the people working overtime at the border to care for the thousands of unaccompanied children that are here due to her administration's policies. And Rhonda McDaniel says it would have been incredibly easy for Harris to add a stop on her trip to show her support and to console, comfort, and lead on the ground. She has her own plane. The flight time from L.A. to San Diego is 30 minutes. Again, so where is Vice President Harris? We'll see if she'll respond to calls to go down to the border, because she's in charge of that.
Why in the world would Kamala Harris want to go down to the border and have a photo op with a raging disaster in the background? I tend to doubt she's going to be wanting to go down there anytime soon.
Yeah, well, you know, I forgot to mention, Rick, also, the people that did go down there were the Republican lawmakers this week. There were a total of 18 of them that went down to the border, including the Republican Study Committee that's led by Representative Jim Banks of Indiana. And also House Republican Whip Steve Scalise went down there with 10 House members. So they were there. It was kind of the Republicans to the rescue. So they were there, and the vice president was not. So there you go.
Quite a bit of name-calling going on around Washington these days. John Boehner dropped a few in his book, but you've got a new term for the media?
I wish I'd thought of this, but I didn't. This is coming from Jim Garrity. He's a National Review columnist. And this is what he has to say. You can't say that the national news media refused to cover the border crisis. They brought their cameras. The talking heads argued about whose fault it was, and the Biden administration took its lumps. But as you've probably noticed in our modern era, after a few days, the media move like a herd on to the next story or controversy, whether or not the first story or controversy gets resolved. So I love that, the new media herd. And indeed, he's so right, because it's like the media herd suddenly is trudging off to the next big thing that will get them clicks or buzz or whatever. Anyway, Jim Garrity goes on to say, in the case of the border crisis, the coverage has waned. But the massive numbers of migrants, both adults and children, are still attempting to cross over each day. In the past week or so, the Georgia voting law, the scandals of Representative Matt Gaetz, and the 60 Minutes hit piece on Governor Ron DeSantis overtook the border in the news cycle. So anyway, when you're wondering what the heck's happening in the news, just envision the media herd trudging from one story to the next, and we'll see.
Something going on in New Hampshire involving the Speaker of the House?
Yes, this is interesting, too. But New Hampshire is actually taking on Nancy Pelosi, perhaps unknown to most of us, the House Speaker is not very keen on the fact that New Hampshire is the first in the nation state. That's a very historic honor, I guess, to be the first to cast their primary votes in a presidential election. Well, apparently that doesn't go down so well. And this is an argument she's been having with them for a long time. And New Hampshire Secretary of State Bill Gardner, he is a Democrat, Rick, and he's very familiar with the issue. And he said that he received a visit from Mrs. Pelosi on this issue 38 years ago. He says 38 years ago in the month of October 1983, Nancy Pelosi came to the New Hampshire State House and the Secretary of State's office on a mission to take the first in the nation presidential primary away from the people of New Hampshire. That visit was exactly 200 years to the month after the people of New Hampshire approved their constitution on October 31st, 1783. But it does mean a whole lot to the folks up there. And for some reason, this is still going on. He has some kind of a political and cultural reasons, he says, why she wants doesn't want New Hampshire to be the first in the nation state. But this is what he has to say. Again, this is coming from New Hampshire Secretary of State Bill Gardner. He says Speaker Pelosi wants to make New Hampshire and the rest of the country like her state of California. New Hampshire has had the third highest voter turnout in the country for each of the last four presidential elections. Compared to our third ranking in the country, California has ranked 46th, 49th, 49th, and 43rd for turnout in the last four presidential elections. So he's pushing back. It's an interesting thing to watch.
I had heard a rumor that she made a secret trip to Punxsutawney earlier this year. I wonder what that is. While we're in New England, you got a story on Maine that's of interest this week.
Yes, I do. And this is some definite help from the North. I like to go to the Border Patrol website, look at their press releases and so forth. And this is just interesting. And the great state of Maine, Rick, and our listeners, is sending their Border Patrol agents down to assist with the surge of migrants there at the southern border, Rick. And this is coming from a CBS affiliate in Bangor, Maine, WABI. They say agents from the Houlton section are being temporarily deployed to the southwest border area of operation. According to U.S. Customs and Border Protection, the agency would not provide exact numbers of locations for where the agents are headed. A spokesman did say, however, that more than 300 agents will be deployed primarily from northern and coastal sectors. So that made me really curious to find out about Houlton Station. This is where they're coming from. It's going to be kind of hot down there for them. But anyway, this is one of six U.S. Border Patrol stations in Maine. The Houlton Station's total area of responsibility is 5,509 square miles, and 90% of that are forested. And the station also mines 98 miles of the international border with Canada, and 39 are land boundaries and 59 are water boundaries. So that's who's going down there to give them some help, and I think that they'll do a great job.
Around Easter time, we heard stories about the number of people who were attending church in the United States dropping below 50%. But you've got an interesting barometer from the New York Times.
Yes, that's a great way to put it. And certainly there was a lot of us, several polls were revealing that people were not going to church anymore. And this is just a different barometer, as you put it. And we can have a round of applause this morning for Fox News anchor Shannon Bream. You may know her work, but she has written a book called The Women of the Bible Speak. And she went to quite a few conservative and Republican women and asked them to talk about the women of the Bible that might inspire them and that they found to be wise. And, you know, very thoughtful book. Again, it's called The Women of the Bible Speak. Well, guess what? That hit number one on the New York Times bestseller list on Thursday. Also number three on Amazon and number one in a couple of other spots. And it was only just published. It's already sold more than 100,000 copies. And that's just a very telling moment. You may not hear a lot of reports about that. But again, that's Fox News anchor Shannon Bream wrote The Women of the Bible Speak, and it hit number one on the New York Times bestseller list. It was pretty good and makes me want to get a copy and read it myself.
Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway, Washington Times. Follow her on Twitter, at Harper Bulletin. As always, Jennifer, thank you so much.
My pleasure, and have a good weekend, everybody.
And you too. It is 6:48 on the Saturday Morning Update. We'll talk to Jim Trustee next. Latest on the Matt Gaetz allegations and President Biden's efforts to pack the Supreme Court. That's next, but first, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
On the inner loop of the Beltway at Landover Road, getting reports of a vehicle fire, so use extra caution there and you may encounter lane closures. Also in Woodbridge, you will still find accident activity westbound on the Prince William Parkway at Minneville Road, where all lanes are reported to be blocked, so follow police direction around this incident. Also, watch out for some road work on the freeway east found near the 3rd Street Tunnel. You may find some lane closures through that area. And also on DC 295 between the 11th Street Bridge and Pennsylvania Avenue, look out for road work there as well. Now from GarageDriveHair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Dense fog this morning. Watch your drive. Dense fog advisory until 8 o'clock this morning for Warren, Page, Rockingham, Orange, and Madison County in Virginia. Temperatures in the 50s now. We're headed up to 72 degrees. A mostly cloudy sky for the afternoon. A little bit of filtered sunshine. By 9 p.m., areas of rain return, and there could even be some thunderstorms with heavy rain overnight. By Sunday, some lingering showers early on, but also some sunshine will turn partly sunny. There is a chance for an isolated thunderstorm in the afternoon, the high near 80. I'm 7 News meteorologist Veronica Johnson from the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
54 degrees in the nation's capital, 6:49 on the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. It is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler, and it is always great to get the legal perspectives from Jim Trustee. He is a partner at IFRA Law here in Washington. He is the former chief of the Organized Crime and Gang Section at the U.S. Department of Justice. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
It seems the plumes of smoke surrounding Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz are getting thicker as we go into the weekend, Jim. A Florida politician at the center of an investigation into Congressman Gaetz is negotiating with federal prosecutors to resolve his own sex trafficking and other charges. And if he is in a situation where he's cooperating in a bid for leniency, what does that mean for Matt Gaetz?
Well, it means bad news. And I think he's well aware of that. And you saw a transition this week where Gaetz had started off doing, I think, the same thing that Andrew Cuomo believed he could do. Just get me to a microphone and I can explain my way out of it. He went on Tucker Carlson, and it was, by all accounts, not a particularly successful interview. But by the end of the week, as we started to hear from Joel Greenberg's lawyer directly, it was time to get a lawyer and a spokesman. And I think that's very smart of Congressman Gaetz. You know, I have to say, a lawyer coming out and announcing that Joel Greenberg, his client, is working out a deal and that Matt Gaetz should be very nervous, it's borderline malpractice. I mean, it's really kind of an amazing moment when you are representing a client and you go out and publicly announce that. And so I thought that was a strange sight to behold. And frankly, when it comes to using cooperating witnesses, a person with a sex trafficking background is in that category where they can almost never successfully cooperate because the baggage is so heavy. You know, a jury is not going to like a sex offender, a child pornographer, a sex trafficker. The one exception to the rule against using them is when they're going after one of their colleagues. So it's going to be interesting to see where that case goes.
We've heard a lot of the allegations about Congressman Gaetz from the media, but what are you hearing in terms of the feds and what they're looking at?
Well, it looks like they're probably referring to the Mann Act. That's kind of the colloquial name for it, for a Congressman Mann, M-A-N-N, from 1910. It was originally, it's a crazy history, and Matt Gaetz, if he gets prosecuted, joins quite a small group of celebrity defendants. It was originally called the White Slave Traffic Act, and the idea was that immigrants were coming into our country in 1910 when it was passed, and that they were somehow seducing or tricking or kidnapping or some combination of those young white teenage girls. For immoral purposes. And so this law originally was really a morality law. It forbade the interstate commerce transport of any woman or girl for prostitution, debauchery, or any other immoral purpose. And that immoral purpose, again, kind of foreign territory to where we are now with most of our laws. But in 1917, the Supreme Court upheld a conviction of two California men who snuck off for a romantic weekend with their girlfriends to Nevada. that was it. It was the immoral purpose. I mean, it's the kind of conduct that Hunter Biden would call a typical weekend. But they snuck off for a weekend, and the Supreme Court upheld their conviction. And so it wasn't really brought very regularly as a kind of a main staple of federal prosecutors. But the other folks that have been prosecuted by it are kind of fascinating stories. I mean, one is Jack Johnson, the heavyweight champion of the world, apparently drew a lot of fire because he had white wives. He had three different wives over the course of his life that were all white, and that was unpopular 100 years ago. He brought a prostitute from Pittsburgh to Chicago, got sentenced to a year, fled the country, but eventually came back to the U.S. and served a year in Leavenworth. So it took about 100 years for Donald Trump, of all people, to pardon Jack Johnson, about 105 years after the actual sentence was served. Then you had Charlie Chaplin in 1944 and Chuck Berry twice in 1959 and 1961. Berry actually was in the middle of his musical career and had to spend 2 years in jail for his conduct. So finally, this thing kind of updated in 1986. I mean, the 1986 version of the Mann Act basically took out all of the language of debauchery and immoral purpose and said, if there is some underlying criminal activity. So in other words, it's got to be married to an actual criminal offense like statutory rape, kidnapping, child abuse. But it's a 10-year felony charge with a rich history, maybe limited, but kind of a fascinating celebrity history. And there are prosecutors who are willing to use it.
A lot of talk about the Biden administration and the Supreme Court. Headline at Reuters late Friday, Biden forms panel to study possible U.S. Supreme Court expansion, a bipartisan commission to study potential U.S. Supreme Court changes, including expanding the number of justices beyond the current nine, a goal of some liberal Democrats hoping to end its conservative majority. Jim, you've spent decades around the federal court system. Your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a pretty horrible moment, frankly. I mean, it's a real political power grab. You know, Washington politicians don't usually form committees to come out with a result of everything's fine, don't change anything. So they're dressing this up by saying, well, we're not really asking for specific recommendations yet. We're going to give them 6 months to come up with some findings. But I can't believe for a moment that this is this bipartisan academic exercise. In fact, the two commission co-chairs are Bob Bauer and Christina Rodriguez. Bob Bauer is a former White House counsel for Obama, and Christina Rodriguez was in the Office of Legal Counsel at DOJ under Obama. And the Office of Legal Counsel, frankly, is kind of the political hotbed within DOJ. These are folks that come up with legal opinions and guidance, and they tend to be much more on the politics side of things than the prosecutor side of things.
Yeah, that sounds like a real bipartisan leadership.
Right. I mean, if you've got two co-chairs, and by the way, they were both active in the election process this cycle. So these are not just kind of routine ivory tower constitutional law folks. These are people that have been in political campaigns in recent years. So I think when you have essentially doctrinaire liberals, they're going to come up with these solutions to problems that don't exist. I mean, the problem for them is they don't like the majority spread of the Supreme Court. Now, the number of members in the Supreme Court is not a constitutional issue. So they can try to railroad something through Congress that changes the number of members, even though that hasn't been done in many, many years. Term limits, which is also something they're talking about, which is a really radical change to the philosophy of having apolitical members on the Supreme Court, that is something that, from my assessment, would have to be a constitutional amendment. So I think there's a big difference in some of the things they're asking for. But any of these changes, I think, are really bad ones and designed for all the wrong reasons right now.
Jim Trusty, partner at IFRA Law here in Washington, and you can follow him on Twitter at Trusty Lawyer. Jim, thank you very much for the perspectives.
Sure. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
It is the Saturday morning update. It is 6:57. We've got the 7 o'clock news coming up next. Then we'll be back with John Gizzi. We'll talk about his back and forth with Jen Psaki in the White House press briefing room this week. Also, his headline about John Boehner, which was not particularly favorable. Of course, the former Speaker of the House has a book out, John Boehner. Also on the way, we'll talk with K.T. McFarland, and we're going to talk about some of the Biden administration foreign policy initiatives with K.T. including Iran this morning. Also on the way, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer and what's going on with China. Oh, boy. And also we have got Dr. Bob Lahida, and he will join us with the very latest on COVID-19, the vaccinations, and also the increase in cases in the Northeast. It's all coming up in the 7 o'clock hour right here on the Saturday Morning Update.
One day, you'll need to avoid getting stuck in traffic again or getting caught in a passing storm. And when you need to know, we'll be here.
There's a wreck at the Beltway.
Dependable traffic and weather.
Showers moving in after about 2.
From 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Hey, WMAL listeners. It's me, Mark Livingstone, with Cornerstone First Financial, and I want to take a moment to let you know what's really happening within the mortgage industry. Yes, interest rates have started moving upwards, but we're still able to offer rates half a point lower than where they were at this time a year ago. And with the massive rise in appreciation of homes recently, this is still a perfect time to refinance, to take cash out for any reason, whether for home improvement, to pay off credit cards, your ex-spouse, or just switch to a shorter term to save thousands. The bottom line is that you haven't missed out yet. And as a direct lender, we even guarantee to meet or beat any competitor on this very station, or we'll pay your mortgage for an entire year. Obviously, some restrictions do apply. But do yourself a favor and call us now, the longest running and most trusted mortgage company heard on WMAL. Our number is 202-625-1221, and our website is cornerstonefirst.com.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.